Flyover Politic Podcast, the show for normal Americans. From this undisclosed bunker, here's your host, Tony Reed.
I'm offended every day. For example, the British newspapers every day offend me with their laziness, their nastiness, and their inaccuracy. But I'm not going to expect someone to stop that happening. I should just simply speak out about it. You know, sometimes when people are offended, they want somebody to just come in and say, right, stop that, to whoever is offending them. And of course, as a former chairman of the BBC once said, there are some people one would wish to offend. And I think there's truth in that too. So the idea that you have to be protected from any kind of uncomfortable emotion is one I absolutely do not subscribe to. And a fellow that I helped write two books about psychology and psychiatry, he was a renowned psychiatrist in London called Robin Skinner, said something very interesting to me. He said, if people can't control their own emotions, then they have to start trying to control other people's behavior. And when you're around super sensitive people, you cannot relax and be spontaneous because you have no idea what's going to upset them next. And that's why I've been warned recently, don't go to most university campuses, because the political correctness has been taken from being a good idea, which is let's not be mean, particularly to people who are not able to look after themselves very well. That's a good idea, to the point where any kind of criticism of any individual or group can be labeled cruel. And the whole point about humor, the whole point about comedy, and believe you me, I've thought about this, is that all comedy is critical. Even if you make a very inclusive joke, like, how'd you make God laugh, answer, tell him your plans. Now, that's about the human condition. It's not excluding anyone. It's saying we all have all these plans which probably won't come, and isn't it funny how we still believe they're going to happen? So that's a very inclusive joke. It's still critical. All humor is critical. And if you start saying, oh, we mustn't criticize or offend them, then humor's gone. With humor goes a sense of proportion. And then as far as I'm concerned, you're living in 1984.
And welcome back to Flyover Politic Podcast. It is the 10th of April, year of our Lord, 2024. John Cleese, love the guy. Spot on. Spot the fuck on. So we have a decent show today. A couple good topics to go through. A little bit of woke. But we're going to start off with the eclipse. And I even got some good pictures. So here they go. Alrighty then. This is actually what I got, which is pretty interesting. I got a filter that does this, and that's the picture I got when it was just about to go. It's not accurate. I mean, it's just a sliver here. We had 95%. That's with the clouds, and I thought was a really nice photo. That was about 20 minutes before the full effect we were going to get here. And there's another one that came up pretty good. So, very interesting event. Next one will be 2025. We won't get it. 2026. The next full one will be, I don't think I'll be alive, 2044. That's a long time for now. So, we're going to, ooh, God, there's just, So much to say, so little time. I love this. Nobody listens to Joe Biden. Well, probably because he sounds like this.
People say to me, it's great you're helping people into college. How about all those hardworking people who grew up and had no opportunity to go to college? I get it. That's the neighborhood I come from. That's why a big part of my economic agenda is investing in all Americans, whether you attend college or not.
What the fuck, over? What the fuck? Dude's just mush mouth. He makes so much shit. A lot of weird shit I'm going to put up today. Trump and his allies are planning to weaponize the DOJ and abuse the tools of justice to target political enemies without evidence. Trump's Project 2025 will decimate our institution and democracy as we know it. Kind of like what Biden's done? Because didn't he weaponize DOJ and go after people that he didn't like? I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what fucking happened. I don't know, I'm talking in high voice. I mean, seriously. Response, if you didn't break the law, there's nothing to worry about. Wasn't that thing you said? Goldman, like every good fascist, accuses his enemy of what he's already doing. And once again, how many times did you or your team meet with Hunter Biden during Trump's first impeachment? Boom! Boom! Boom. A lot of J6 bullshit. Rebecca Lorenz. I'm still in utterly disbelief by Thursday's verdict. Never in my life did I imagine my own government would charge me as a criminal for exercising my religious liberties and rights to free speech, which are guaranteed by the First Amendment of the Constitution. They are... Sorry, it's long. Trying to stop our voices, put fear in our hearts, and take away the inalienable rights given to us by God, but I will not let that happen to this praying great-grandma as long as I still have breath. Kinzinger, probably shouldn't have J6'd. Only a stunted bully like you would cheer the potential incarceration of a 71-year-old woman. Sorry, I got to take a... Sorry about that. I had some medicine they put me on, and every time they try to put me on a brain pill, I can't take any of it. Somehow, some way, it makes my stomach garbage. Like, I seriously have, like, old symptoms from back when I first got sick where I want to vomit, and it just doesn't like food. So I was, on the phone with him. Here's some more of this crazy shit. Here's new voting laws, and what they're trying to say is that black people are not going to vote, but right underneath it is a black guy, Javon Price, black guy from Florida here, and I can say with absolute certainty that strict voter ID laws do not target or harm anything. The problem with this line is that we've already proven it's wrong because you said that it was going to ruin the midterms, and more people turned up in Georgia than they ever have, so you can't. JFK, disturbed about the weaponization of J6. And the more you get into these things, folks, the more you're going to see more Americans are going, what the fuck? DOJ targeting parents of domestic terrorists, arresting pro-life activists, prosecuting grandmas, targeting a political opponent. Dr. Joan Freeman is worried about Trump, really. Her tweet was about Trump's going to fuck the world up. If you think that during a DJT presidency, you'll have right to protect against police you disagree with, you're sadly mistaken. Sorry, I'm flipping around here. Over your rights, over your opinions, over everything, that's authoritarianism. Laughs in summer of love 2020 and lies won't work this time, sweetie. Yet you're perfectly comfortable with authoritarian policies and civil rights. And that's the problem. I say what happened on J6 was garbage. I'm not saying it wasn't garbage. But the problem is you thought 2020 was fine. You think it's okay for Democrats to go around the rule of law. And I mean, this whole gnashing of fucking teeth about Roe, you know, immigration, we're not following the laws. They said, fuck it, we're going to do what we want to do. We've been doing that since Trump took office, even though Obama was the deporter in chief. Guns, they do things against it. The president himself, as we'll see during this podcast, laughs in the face of the Supreme Court. Fuck you. I'm the president. I don't respect the branches. And everybody says he's a great guy. So in the theory, he is buying votes by saying, I'm going to give you free college. So they'll vote for him because his polling's so bad. But I digress. I don't think I have it. There it is. Yeah. Yay. Woohoo. Global warming. So, I'm going to start with global warming first, because I have some sound bites up front that are just vicious. NBC, William Shatner ties solar eclipse and earthquakes with Sonny Hostin to climate change. Really?
And I actually got the chance to speak with William Shatner just before us. He's going to be doing a spoken word performance leading up to totality. And he spoke to that this is an emotional experience. It's huge that we even know why an eclipse happens, let alone can experience it all together like this across the continent of North America. And he also made an interesting observation that I think is important to note. Basically, he is so interested in space exploration. He's one of the oldest people to ever go up into space. And he said, what's the point of going up to explore space if you can't come down to a healthy planet? So we talked about the need to do both and exploring what we're looking at around us, understanding the universe, but also keeping our planet healthy and tackling the climate crisis. And so that was an interesting perspective from William Shatner, along with an astronomer I spoke with here at Indiana University, talking about how this event will connect us to the universe in a way that we have not been able to do, we can't do frequently, and how it gets.
So what's kind of crazy is with the earthquake on Friday and then the eclipse today, people are having all sorts of conspiracies about the end of the world. And then I read online that the earthquake epicenter was actually at Bedminster in New Jersey.
Right.
Fun fact. So it originated with Trump.
I know, right? I mean, I have to say, Karen DuPeach, our wonderful makeup artist, when the earthquake was happening, she put her coat on and she was like, Jesus is coming.
I'm out.
I'm leaving. We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here. The rapture's here. And then also, I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Although I love the first time in
two different kinds of cicadas.
Yes, two different times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe, you know better.
I would say all those things together.
Would maybe lead one to believe that, either climate change exists,
or the Earth is returning. Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground.
It happens. And the eclipse, they've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen, and they actually can say when these things are going to happen. So all these folks who are saying, it's a sign from God. God doesn't give you warning. Okay? You think he gave people at the Tower of Babel warning? Oh, I'm about to jack y'all up? No. God does stuff, and then you figure, oh, that's probably because I just, But the cicadas come. We have them every 17 years. There's some we get every 20-some-odd years. And they just go under, and they come back up. They make noise and they have sex.
And sing. And this time, both types are coming.
They have sex? What's the noise while they're having sex? Oh, God.
This article, I guess I could read it down here if I did it right. Sorry, I'm out of order. Global warming. Woke scientists in San Francisco began secretly spraying aerosolized sodium chloride into the atmosphere in an effort to reduce global warming. The Biden regime approved the weather modification plan with continue through May. Quiet launching salt crystals. No mention of the potential ecological impacts. A key consideration recommended by 2022 Biden administration marine cloud brightening workshop that is significant oversight, according to Greg Goldsmith. History has shown us that when we insert ourselves in the modification of nature, there's always various serious unintended consequences. And why are we doing this again? Why? I don't understand why we're doing it. This is Old James Wood. After driving grocery stores out of business with leftist crime-coddling policy, Democrats now want to sue the bereft owners whose lives they destroyed. They want to sue them for leaving because it's racism. Of course, that's what they're going to fucking say. This one, Red State exposes expelled Vanderbilt student, Hamas activist, and his damning connection to the White House. First, Red State student expelled from Vanderbilt. Organized harassment campaigns of Florida school board members over book banning, walkouts over DeSantis, Don't Say Gay Bill, had at least 4 White House visits. No, it is an organic movement. He was up with the president and met him. How do we even change this at this point? They've just taken over. They're everywhere. Nothing on the left is organic. Americans for the last four years, who's behind all this crap? It's not organic. But it's always the same group. The same people. They're all lemmings. They do posts like this. She's so much prettier than Melania. Who gives a fuck? And the thing is, they're never going to cover this. So I'm going to play it in unison. It's going to be a dude and they're in Dearborn, Michigan, in Hamas, saying death to America. Colbert, propaganda about this. ISIS is by terror plot. Nobody covered it except for ABC. Here we have former DOJ spokesman. Maybe Americans need to view Hamas atrocities because they realize that nobody knows what's going on. And Stewart compares Israel to Russia and blames Israel for the Iranian revolution.
We've been asked in the past, why are our protests on the International Day of Quds, why are they so anti-America? Why don't we just focus more on Israel and not talk so much about America? Gaza has shown the entire world why these protests are so anti-America. Because it's the United States government that provides the funds for all of the atrocities that we just heard about. And this is why Imam Khomeini, who declared the International Day of Quds, this is why he would say to pour all of your chants and all of your shouts upon the head of America. Malcolm X said, and I quote, "We live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth. It's not Genocide Joe that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go. Any system that would allow such atrocities and such devilry to happen and would support it, such a system does not deserve to exist on God's earth." And so when these fools ask us if Israel has the right to exist, the chant "Death to Israel" has become the most logical chant shouted across the world today. Imam Khomeini recognized that Israel is an evil settler colonialist project. He realized it is a cancer. And he established this day. Israel, before this, brothers and sisters, was a sacred cow. Nobody could criticize Israel. Everybody was terrified of being anti-Semitic. Everybody was afraid of them. But now, the people of conscience very openly will criticize Israel. They recognize Israel for what it is. Israel is ISIS. They are Nazis. They are fascists. They are racist. The people of the world now know this.
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine! From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free!
Palestine will be free!
The horrors of the attack of October 7th and the horror people see of the innocent lives lost in the military response, the tens of thousands of lives being lost there. But you took it a further step. I think you were the first person to do this in the Congress. Mm-hmm. You said that you called the famine in Gaza an unfolding genocide. Mm. That is an electric term to be using against the actions of a country that was formed in the wake of the greatest genocide of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. If politics is the art of the possible, you're a politician. What did you hope to make possible by going that far in your description?
I appreciate the extent of that question. And while I was not the first in Congress to use that term, It certainly was a dedicated speech towards it before the beginning, rather the end of that session. And to me, what I saw in that moment is that we have been on the precipice of a mass famine that would indiscriminately kill nearly a million children, adults, innocent people, men, women, and children. And this is an utterly heartbreaking moment. As you mentioned, the attacks on October 7th were horrifying. The hostages that are being held in Gaza are also being endangered and imperiled by an indiscriminate famine and bombardment campaign as well. And it's important that they be home. But I think in using this term, it is not to engage in a game of rhetoric, but it is for us to see what is happening for what it is. And I mean, even let's just rewind a second. We just went through an impeachment attempt on the President of the United States that was started with a source that Republicans used that was in communication with Russian intelligence. So you have not just the bottom bench here, you have the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, Representative Comer, take quote-unquote evidence, an account from someone who was working with the Russian intelligence and tried to impeach and remove the President of the United States over it. This is serious.
How did they not know that, or did they know that this was connected to the Russians, or did they not figure?
The suspect was arrested on Saturday, just hours before the alleged planned assault on Sunday. Authorities say he had picked a specific church where he would start his attack, set for the end of Ramadan.
This morning, the FBI claims this 18-year-old was on the verge of conducting a terror plot involving attacks on multiple churches in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Alexander Mercurio seen here knife in hand and expressing his allegiance to ISIS. The FBI says his plot involved a murderous rampage using knives and firearms to kill parishioners. He also planned to set their houses of worship on fire, going from church to church until he was killed by police. It's a plan eerily similar to that recent ISIS assault on that concert hall in Moscow.
They talked about using knives, fire, and possibly weapons. And so the combination of all three, if in fact he did launch that, had the possibility of harming a lot of people.
According to criminal charges unsealed last night, Mercurio had bought a number of items for his attack, including butane canisters for setting fires. And those charges say on Saturday, Mercurio sent an audio file to an FBI confidential informant. 20 seconds long, it says in part, "I'm answering the call for the Islamic State for jihad and to kill." The charges against Mercurio lay out a chilling plan where he would, quote, incapacitate his father, restrain him using handcuffs, and steal his firearms to use for maximum casualties in his attack. Sources tell ABC News his father had dozens of weapons, including an AR-15-style assault rifle. Mercurio's arrest comes at a state of heightened alert by U.S. law enforcement. Authorities have been concerned about rage ignited by the Israeli-Hamas war, and late last week they sent out an urgent bulletin warning that ISIS was trying to use their horrific attack on that Moscow concert to inspire radicals here to conduct U.S. attacks.
In announcing this arrest last night, we received statements from both the Attorney General and the FBI Director, both expressing deep concern. Their statements are a sign of just how serious this case is and just how...
There are 129 hostages still being held by Hamas who were taken on October 7th. I think that Netanyahu at this point should offer a very simple ceasefire option. By the way, the Hamas side has rejected the six-week ceasefires that have been offered time and time again by Israel. Offer a simple ceasefire. Return all of the hostages. They actually hold 133 in exchange for a ceasefire, because you know what? Hamas will either reject it or they will violate it immediately. Because don't forget, there was a ceasefire on October 6th. This is the problem. This isn't like 9/11. They are holding Israelis. They're holding Americans, for that matter. So yes, Israel is going to keep prosecuting that war until every single one of those people are home. And that 47-minute video that they have of what Hamas did on October 7th is something that, frankly, Americans shouldn't have to watch, but maybe they need a reminder for what happened that day, because it wasn't like 9/11.
You hear that, Russia? We condemn, in no uncertain terms, any repression of a free press. I think you all know what's coming next. More journalists have been killed in Gaza in 6 months than anywhere else in the world. And a new Israeli law says they can ban media outlets they consider a threat.
So as it relates to Al Jazeera specifically, we've seen the reports. If it is true, a move like this is concerning.
Oh, we're concerned again. How about if it's true, we condemn it? And by the way, is it true? Like, it feels like you could probably just call someone and be like, is this true? And if they're like, yeah, it's true, you could be like, that's concerning. Not condemning, but concerning. Well, you know what? Perhaps these are just peripheral issues. What about the bedrock rule of international law? No taking land by force. When Russia does it, we're pretty clear.
The entire world has a stake in making sure that no nation, no aggressor, is allowed to take a neighbor's territory by force. The American people will never waver on our commitment to those values.
Ish. See, this is where Israel's actions get interesting. Because you might say Israel's war is different than Ukraine's. Israel's responding to an attack and a hostage crisis. But in the midst of that, they pulled a little something in the West Bank on March 22nd that might be notable.
As the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken made his latest visit to Israel, the Israeli government announced that it was declaring state land, nearly 2,000 acres of land, in the occupied West Bank.
This latest Israeli appropriation is the largest land transfer since the Oslo Accords were signed in 1993.
1993, and that's not even Gaza, that's the West Bank. So you can't say it has anything to do with defending yourself against Hamas.
International Al-Quds Day rally in Dearborn. Death to America chant. Speaker at the rally. America's one of the rottenest countries on the earth. Israel is ISIS. Nazi, a cancer. For those who don't know, Al-Quds Day was started by Ayatollah Khomeini in 1979. Does the FBI consider these people living among us as domestic terrorists? No, but grandmas who went to J6 and, of course, pro-life people that prey on sidewalks, those fucking people are fucking garbage. Just, oh my God. As talked about, here's the president once again defying the Supreme Court, talking about a student loan.
And for his part, President Biden was courting young voters whose support for the president is slipping, according to polls. The White House announcing a plan to wipe out student debt for millions more Americans. Gabe Gutierrez is in Wisconsin with more.
It felt almost impossible.
Former public school teacher Seth McClure had been paying off his student loans for more than 20 years until $15,000 were forgiven in November, and he's praising the president.
Surprise, gratitude. I honestly didn't think it was actually going to happen, and it did.
He's one of the now 30 million Americans the White House says will have at least some of their federal student debt eliminated.
Today, too many Americans, especially young people, are saddled with unsustainable debts in exchange for a college degree.
Today's announcement in battleground Wisconsin, the largest one yet, since the Supreme Court struck down the president's earlier attempt to forgive student loans. The White House is now using a different legal justification. But Republicans say taxpayers who did not go to college or already paid back their loans should not have to bail out the 13% of Americans with federal student debt.
Genocide Joe has got to go!
The president making the move as he faces mounting outrage from some younger voters over the Israel-Hamas war.
If Biden is supporting genocide, there is no lesser evil than that. So we won't vote for him.
In the 2020 NBC News exit poll, candidate Biden led former President Trump by 24 percentage points among voters under 30. But an NBC survey in January had President Biden up by just 8 percentage points among that group. Another poll last month showed Mr. Trump ahead by 18 points among voters under 30. Are you excited to vote for President Biden?
I would personally say no.
Haley Rudy and Maya Cohn are both sophomores at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
I'm excited to vote for someone that's not Trump, but I wouldn't say that it is. I'm excited for Biden.
Even if the president ends up winning back some younger voters before November, a small change from 2020.
It is so funny watching this stuff when you're just posed with it, with all this shit. Here's Obama bro. Last week, Trump went on national radio to accuse Joe Biden of delivering State of the Union while high on cocaine. Most of the media ignored this deranged accusation. The reason why, I help explain how the press inadvertently normalizes dangerously abnormal Trump. The coverage of the interview was emblematic of the press attitude towards Trump. He does a rally or interview filled with insane, incoherent ramblings, and then news clips that most coherent 30 to 45 seconds to the air are part of the package. Because Joe Biden is a serious person who tells the truth, the press hold him to an especially higher standard. They believe this shit. I mean, they totally believe it. They're back into Trump's crazy because our guy's an idiot. New polling shows that Republican anti-electric car stance could be a liability. Spoiler, the polling did not say anything remotely close to that. I don't know any Republican who's anti-electric car. People should buy whatever type of car they want. We are anti-government mandate. The reality is the poll shows that people don't want this fucking shit. That's what they're seeing. And they don't want to say that, so they pull out a teeny little fucking thing and say, well, this is real. This is what we're talking about. John Kennedy, America already has a solution to student debt. It's called a job. President Biden lost his last unconstitutional student loan scheme at the Supreme Court, but now he's trying to buy votes again. What about the billions of taxpayer handouts for COVID businesses of congressmen and women tell Merge Green to pay back the $880,405 she stole? It was a loan until Congress grabbed the billions. Something was free cash, but God forgive you, give students a small break. He's not buying votes. But do go on. There were many Republicans in Congress got PPP. PPP is totally different than student loans. And I'm sorry, this is buying votes. Emphatically, that's why he's doing it. Because they can't get people to cobble together because that's what they need to win. The Biden campaign is bringing the Lincoln Project in-house, a messaging designed to get under Trump's skin. But a study from the main Democratic super PAC in 2020 showed their ads didn't work because nobody believes their shit. Kurt Seltzer, well, with the Democrats' support for bizarre perverted freaks, it seems like a match made in heaven. Will not heaven, but someplace where perverted freaks hang out. Yeah, so to close this out and go into our woke, we got Buttleg saying craziness. PBS taking a poll and saying that the J6 violent energy of Trump voters. So it's back to voter. All the voters are deplorable. And you're going to start with a conservative teachers don't. Fuck me. I've never seen this. I saw it on YouTube. Yeah, it's like what the left does, except normal.
Our latest PBS NewsHour NPR Marist poll indicates a 50-48 slight lead President Biden has over former President Trump. That is within the margin of error. But there are a couple of quick takeaways I want to get both of your takes on, if you don't mind. In one question, we asked Americans if they felt that Americans have to resort to violence to get the country back on track. A majority, 79%, disagreed or strongly disagreed, but 12% of Democrats, 28% of Republicans, and 18% of independents agreed violence might be necessary. Couple that with another question we asked about whether they wanted to see a president or a leader who's willing to break the rules to set things straight. And some 41% of Americans agreed with that. That includes 56% of Republicans, 28% of Democrats, and 37% of independents. Jonathan, what kind of picture does that paint for you?
So the violence question, it should be 0% who say that violence is necessary. But that didn't concern me as much as the break the rules, someone who is willing to break the rules to get the country back on track. That's the Trump campaign right there. Just wants to break the rules to get the country back on track. I broke the rules coming to the studio today. People break rules all the time. I went over the speed limit. And so I think when people here break the rules, they're not thinking ransack the Capitol. They're thinking what they might view as little things. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about Donald Trump, breaking the rules is breaking law and order, breaking social, breaking norms, and breaking democracy. And so that's why when you have 56% saying that they agree or strongly agree that...
That's 56% of Republicans,
Of Republicans,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But still a big number of just the nation overall.
Yeah.
That's really concerning because that inures to the benefit of Trump.
David, how do you see it?
I just want to say I followed the speed limit on my way here today. I had the exact same reaction as Jonathan. I'm not a big fan of that would you resort to violence because I don't know what that means. I don't know what violence means in that context. Hmm. And so when people answer that question, that they're really saying, how upset are you about the way things are going? But the breaking the rules thing, that is to me also much more upsetting because that really is the seedbed of authoritarianism. And it's mostly on the right. Trump is scaring a lot of people that we have to break the rules. But it's a little on the left. You hear people say we need to bust up the system. We need to tear down the system. And that way lies authoritarianism. And you can see it in the Philippines. You can see it in Hungary. You can see it in Poland. Whenever you have a rise of authoritarianism, it's because people think that breaking the rules is somehow okay to make the streets safe. It's sort of like the Dirty Harry defense. And to me, it's just that's the most worrying part of our survey.
So we need to talk about the reality here. And again, there is a lot of funding and a lot of energy going into telling a different story, especially on ideological news outlets and online. But the simple facts and the simple reality are right here staring us in the face, including the fact that I can safely walk my dog mm-hmm. to the Capitol today in a way that you couldn't do when we all got here.
Whether Joe Biden believes this madness or is simply too weak to resist it, his administration has been completely hijacked by the radical left. The dividing line in America is no longer between right or left. The choice is between normal or crazy.
We're conservative teachers. We don't teach about Marxist BLM garbage. Communism sucks.
We're conservative teachers. We only hang the American flag in our classroom. Seriously, the rainbow flag is about who you like to have sex with.
Gross. We're conservative teachers. We don't treat our students differently based on the color of their skin. You get the grade you deserve.
That's right. We're conservative teachers. We don't ask our students for their pronouns.
We're conservative teachers. We say Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays.
We're conservative teachers. We're not keeping any gender secrets from parents. Those are your kids, not ours.
Yeah, go come pick them up.
I really like that. That's cute as fuck. It's really, really funny. Before we go, I want to play a soundbite, and I'm going to do a lot of soundbites just through the program while we talk about it. But this one caught me. I saw it on YouTube, and once again, this is fucked up.
Year-old Dylan Sear. Mr. Manser, you are not his father.
Oh, man. 5 years in prison. Dylan, I'm sorry, bro. This is why. This is why I did what I did.
But this is nothing I made up. The lab did
you
it.
You made it all up.
No, I did not.
Well, those results apparently
I don't know
are made
any
up.
Of those people on that form.
Oh, my God.
This is clearly the most shocking
very much
news we've ever gotten in this courtroom.
Oh, my God. She should be convicted of some crime.
No, I should not. I didn't.
That is Manser, fraud.
Mr. Manser.
That is fraud.
I know you're upset. I know it's overwhelming. I need a moment with Dylan because I want to make sure he understands. Do you want to find out who your father is?
Of course.
Miss Sear, do you know?
Yes, ma'am.
You know who his father is?
Yes, I talk to him still.
Yeah. Listen.
Get away from my son.
He apologized.
And out of another breath, he's calling me a liar.
You cannot stand there and really suggest that you cannot comprehend why this man would not have any type of ill feeling, frustration, or regret as it relates to anything involving you. 5 years in prison.
And then to show that liberals literally have no sense of humor. This is a spoof on milk. Once again, there's almond milk and oat milk and all sorts of weird-ass milks. So they do a spoof on it, and libs lose their shit over this.
Hi, I'm Aubrey Plaza. You know me as an actress, but I'm also the co-founder of Wood Milk, the world's first and only milk made from wood. Wood Milk started with a simple idea. I saw a tree, and I asked myself, can I drink this? As it turns out, the answer is yes, if you make it into milk. Here at Wood Milk Orchards, we grow our trees the old-fashioned way, right out of the ground. And we're certain our eco-friendly, artisanal, free-range wood milk will be the only milk you'll want to drink for the rest of your life. Why? Because you're thirsty. And because you want it. Because you want that wood as your milk. Our wood milk is bottled right here in the forest, which locks in the flavors like oak, cherry, maple, and of course mahogany. And if you can't pick your favorite, that's okay, because they all taste like wood. Now let's take a look at how wood milk is born. Not born, exactly. More like squished into a slime that's legal to sell. If a tree falls in the forest, can you make milk out of it? Now it's time to enjoy the fruits of our efforts. Not fruits, wood. Got wood? Is wood milk real? Absolutely not. Only real milk is real. Then what did I invest in?
Okay, to stories. Blackish Star, white people on radio. Not racist, though. Why would that be racist? A lot of these little things. This was your 6'3 man who goes by the name Rose, just won a championship in the girls' high school track and field team in Connecticut. He also reportedly allowed in the girls' locker room and girls' feels unsafe. Why does OM Ram Pride allow this? Do they care about the female student's safety? Dude, that's not even trying, man. I would look better. This is definitely trying. That's a Facebook group for 8 to 15-year-old on Facebook to bait them in. 8. Groomer much? To show that we're sick as fuck, that's what he gets every year. OnlyFans makes that much money that every year he gets a dividend check of $338 because he owns it. Now, I didn't know some of it's not porn, which I didn't know that. The Pope really hurt people's feelings. First in, the Pope Doctrinal Chief has announced that the Catholic Church will be issuing a document on transgenderism surrogacy on the 8th, and he doesn't go with it. Breaking, the Vatican blasts sex change surgery, surrogacy, and gender theory as grave threats to human dignity. And the left lost their shit. We are going to see in a very short time the left is on the wrong side of history on trans because it's going to have a kickback. It's not going to be good. David Pepper, a liberal activist. So our scientists can predict total eclipse of a second to the exact latitude and longitude. We trust them so much that people are traveling to the exact place the scientist tells us. Question, so why do so many ignore science predictions on climate change? Science would tell us babies' lives in the womb, and they're only men and women. See, that's why. You guys twist science to be what you want it. Why are you doing that? Let's go. Mayo Clinic say puberty blockers leave trans kid with withering testes, fertility problems, and even cancer in latest blow to trans medicine. Once again, for those who are new to the show, I say it every fucking time. Every time I picked up my wife's fucking prescription for estrogen, I got a speech on how it could hurt me. Fuck me up. Don't take it. That's what they said. You know? But now we're being told, oh, it's reversible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure it is. Yeah. Yeah. I get it. Mm-hmm. Gays Against Groomer called misgendering free speech. LGBTQ. Click the photo and learn more. It is. They sure hate J.K. Rowling. This is the bottom line of every single activist I've ever engaged with on this issue, but rarely have I seen it stated so honestly. Why can't you just believe? It's so weird you care. Why make this complicated? Just accept the slogan. It's a whole lot of words, and quite frankly, I'm not fucking reading all that. I just wanted to say that it's weirder to do this instead of just believing that trans women are women. J.K. Rowling, you asked me several questions on this thread and accused me of avoiding answering, so here goes. I believe a woman is a human being who belongs to the new class that produces large gametes. It's irrelevant whether or not her gametes have ever been fertilized. Whether or not. They're not going to read it. It goes back to what we just said. They push around science, but science they don't agree with, that's blasphemy. It's misinformation. Christian believe this woman could be truly saved. A naivety of conservative Christians is driving more people towards atheism and Islam. The same naivety that is making your society crumble. Accept everything and fall for anything. What would Jesus say about this? They'd say to him, teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such woman. What did you do say? Those who were saying this tested him so that they threw the rocks. And he said, he's the first one without sin. Toss the first stone. That's what Christianity is based on. It's what it's based on. Forgiveness. She was a porn star. Now she's not. She came from a Christian family. She's straight. She's back. And now she's using her OnlyFans for religion. NAIA, breaking news. Small College Association bans male athletes from women's sports competition. NCAA, where you at? Where you at? You're going to have to. The whole world's starting to change on this. You're going to be on the wrong side of science. 18 animals you didn't know were biologically trans. Gender diversity is in the animal kingdom, blurs the lines of biological sex. These animals show that gender is not a simplistic binary, male and female. Trans and intersex are real. Get used to it. None of the examples presented are evidence that sex is non-binary. In fact, the sexual diversity they describe is only possible by knowing the definition of male and female, common throughout the animal kingdom. Why is every Christian I talk to vehemently against student loan forgiveness? I mean, isn't forgiveness supposed to be what Christianity is all about? This is what I hate about liberals. You're going to use stuff that you don't believe in to disprove stuff. Really? That's what we're doing? I don't think so. So let's get to our stuff. I want to start first with another one of those great videos. And this is in New York. It happens all the time. Nobody seems to care. As a 68-year-old woman. She's in critical condition because she hit her head. Salon. Men punching random women in New York City, a desperate last gasp of the male rage fueling MAGA. From the article. Whatever the excuse the angry man concocts, the impetus is always the same. The eyes of a woman are directed at someone or something that is not him, and he is indignant over it. So he'll make sure she has no choice but to look at him, either by getting in her face, in these alarming New York cases, punching her if he cannot capture her adoring glaze. These stories resonate as well because the nation is having a moment of increasingly unhinged male fury at women for daring to have lives that are centered around something other than catering to a man's every whim. Unleashed by Donald Trump and MAGA. You guys fucking for real? Are you fucking for real? Sweet Jesus, man. What is wrong with you people? This made me smile this week. Let me pull it up. This is, I thought she was gone, but here she is.
Climate activist Greta Thunberg was detained twice by police during a Saturday demonstration in The Hague, the Netherlands. Thunberg was initially detained and briefly held along with other protesters who tried to block a major highway into the city. After her release, Thunberg quickly rejoined a small group of protesters blocking a different road leading to the railway station. Police detained her a second time and drove her away in a van. A spokesperson for protest organizers Extinction Rebellion confirmed that Thunberg was released again in the evening after being held for several hours. She said this before she was detained.
We are here because we are facing an existential crisis. We are in a planetary emergency, and we are not going to stand by and let people lose their lives and livelihood and be forced to become climate refugees when we can do something.
Activists had been trying to block the nearby A12 highway, which they have done numerous...
Okay, here's my question. How can we stop it if it's irreversible and you say the Earth is dying? We're going to die in 8 years. If we're going to die in 8 years, well, that's not fucking fun. Burn all the coal, just go fucking crazy. That we take advice from that fucking kid. Unfucking believable.
No one is obligated to have an abortion. So you never have to have one. And I hope no one ever has to have one. But if you find yourself in a position where you have to, I want to make sure... And I'm way past having kids. I want to make sure, yes, way past. I want to make sure that if you decide this is what you need to do, I'm going to get behind you. Because I don't know your life. And if you say this is what you need, that's what I'm going to do. 50 weeks, 75,000 weeks, whatever, how many weeks, it's nobody's business. It's you, your doctor, and God. That's who you have to be conversational to. And it's not mentioned in the Big Ten, I'm just going to say.
No.
In the Big Ten. It is not mentioned.
The commandments?
Yeah. You know, because I figure God was pretty clear. Here's the stuff that'll make your life better on earth. Here's the thing. Don't lie, because you don't want people lying to you. Don't mess with somebody's wife, because you're going to be mad if they're messing with you. Just, you know,
the evangelical
common sense
would
stuff.
Say, thou shalt not kill.
They believe that.
Yes, well, here's the thing. I think thou shalt not kill cannot be used as the block, because we allow wars all the time.
Yes, we do.
It is unfucking believable to me that we live in a society where women like them can run their fucking cock traps and say shit like that. You don't believe in Christianity. Why are you talking about it? Why? You don't believe in it. But yet you're going to quote it. It's very bizarre for me. It's just a very bizarre fucking thing. It's everywhere. This is a Senate hearing on Senator Mack's pleasurable sex ed bill.
Saying, focusing our attention on our young people and guaranteeing them all a quality education, which includes comprehensive, queer inclusive, pleasure-based sexual health curriculum.
What are we discussing with these children?
We will be talking in an age-appropriate and safe space with our young people about masturbation. We'll be talking about all the different ways that they can protect themselves from when they choose to have a sexual relationship with a partner, whether or not that is anal sex or penetrative sex or oral sex.
Who decides what's appropriate? Parents decide what's appropriate. Against, for. Parents overwhelmingly do not agree that this legislation is appropriate.
I never saw people in my community so active like since yesterday. I got so many phone calls of parents who are concerned. A lot of parents are very concerned about talking to them. So explicit about different things they don't think that the children...
Pleasurable sex. Why do kids need to know that? Kids. I can understand some of these things in high school now because kids are more advanced than we ever have. Plus, they're at the fingertips of way too much pornography and things that will make them do shit that they probably wouldn't do. But why do they keep pushing this shit? Here's a racist lady.
I'm a black lesbian.
If you walk up to me, I swear I'm going to knock the fuck out of you.
I'm a black lesbian.
Walk up on me if you want to.
I can walk wherever.
Walk up on me if you want to. You are a hateful son of a bitch. All of you. And whatever church you go to, fuck off. In their bedroom.
How much you spend on the Sharpie?
I spent a whole bunch of money to come out here and harass the fuck out of your dirty ass.
That's your black privilege.
Yes, it is my black privilege, you white piece of shit.
You're racist.
I am, very much so.
Yeah.
You are a colonizer. So I guess we have something in common.
I always love seeing videos like this because the inverse would be all over the national news. It would be just like Covington Catholic, how they omitted the black Israelites. They always do. Because it doesn't fit the fucking agenda that the right is violent, the left is peaceful. It's another Libs of TikTok.
Today we get to talk to a mom who has a child in a school in Kingston, Massachusetts, and they are dealing with a big problem in their schools because they have all of these illegal alien children coming into their schools, causing a lot of behavioral problems and other issues, and her daughter was actually personally affected by it. And today we get to talk to Caitlin and hear her story. So welcome, Caitlin. Thank you so much for joining me. Tell me about a little bit background about your daughter, the school, and what happened.
So my daughter was in first grade when this happened in 2021. One night we received a bunch of immigrants to our town in a hotel, which is conveniently right across the street from the school. And none of them spoke any English. And my daughter was going to the bathroom, which she has to leave the classroom to go to. She went to the bathroom, had her pants down, and this other student went under the stall while my daughter's pants were down, and she pushed her off and started yelling at her in another language. So she put her hand up and said, "Stop, stop." She finally fought her way out and she got out of the stall and the girl pushed her to the ground and then she started kissing her. I guess, and the school's telling me in their culture, that's the way they apologize. So after that, my daughter went back to the...
What? That's how they apologize?
Classroom. Her teacher saw that she was bright red and very upset. She told the teacher exactly what happened. They got the principal. The principal went down to the bathroom with my daughter and showed her exactly what happened. They contacted me immediately. I went and picked her up from school. And then the school followed up with me the next day. Come to find out, the student was still in the same classroom the next day. They didn't remove the student. So when I found out that the student was still there, I went to school and picked up my daughter. And I said, my daughter's not going back to school until the student is removed.
It's terrible that this happened to you and your daughter. So just so I understand, there's a hotel right next to the school that is currently filled up with illegal aliens.
Yeah, filled. You cannot. They've closed the hotel. It's now considered a shelter.
And do you see that there are more coming? Like every week, is the population increasing?
Yes, because I heard from a very good source that since they've been here, they've had over 25 babies at the hotel, and since they're born here, they're considered legal immigrants.
Oh wow! My God. Wow! And then all of these children are then
in a country that had organized border, they wouldn't let them come in. We can't even stop them because we don't secure the border. The Biden administration unsecures the border.
Going into all the schools, attending the schools on our taxpayer dime.
Correct.
So your daughter's school has a bunch of these criminal, illegal aliens, children attending, and sometimes causing harm. And your daughter was directly affected by that. So when this happened, what did the school do, and what did they say?
So they put a safety plan in right away, which is great. I'd spoken to one of my neighbors who's a local policeman, and he told me to file a police report right away. So we did that. My husband and I met with the superintendent, vice superintendent, the principal, assistant principal, the safety officer at the school that following week, and we went through the safety plan. So that was fine, but you know, they kind of just made me not push it under the rug, but I just said to the superintendent of schools, I said, what are you going to do for this district so this doesn't happen to another kid? Because this shouldn't happen to a six-year-old.
And what was his response?
She handed me the box of Kleenex and said that the principal can respond. But then here we are now, because the safety plan got, she went after her again, second time.
What happened second time?
So this was right before Thanksgiving. Was at her cubby in the second grade hallway, and she was passing by, was getting something, and she pushed into the cubby and said something to her in another language and didn't know. So then we had to do an addendum to the safety plan, which I had to wet sign, but her parents, who I don't know if she has parents, I don't know who she's here with, they didn't have to sign it, but I had to sign it.
So basically the superintendent tells you that their whole plan is that this girl is not going to be able to walk near your student, and just shove the whole thing under the rug. Didn't do anything.
Yeah. And then now my daughter is showing severe signs of anxiety. I just had teacher conferences last week, and she told me that is always looking behind her back.
The mother's, I mean, can you, this is not just an illegal immigrant problem. I have a son. He was the coolest kid I ever met in my life. And it wasn't because he's my kid. He just did crazy shit. He was ballsy, jumped off roofs. I caught him jumping off a roof of the house. I don't even know how the fuck he got up there. Oh, he used the doghouse that I built. A girl was dating him, then she dumped him, and she had three African-American youths beat him up. He just walked around a corner, and those three dudes start beating the fuck out of him. Zach got some punches back, but you can't fight three dudes. He's like a sophomore. He got suspended because he punched back. They got suspended equal amount of time. And it wasn't a policy. They said it was, but that wasn't it. It was the fact that they were black. The school is having a whole bunch of problems. A lot of parents are saying the school is racist because the influx of African-American students are in there. And it was getting majority 50-50, about 50-50 person of color and white. And they all started getting, this is all crazy. Subsequently, then to put fucking metal detectors in the school, it's gone. There's been gang violence. They just fucked that whole school up because they coddled it and didn't actually punish kids for doing that. That's gang violence. They were actually part of a fucking gang. And nothing happened. It altered my son for life. He's never been the same kid because of that beatdown.
In that she's very hypervigilant in the hallway, clings to the teacher. I mean, I took $5,000 out of my 401.
That's just sad shit. Here is the trailer for the new Civil War movie. I'm interested in how this is going to turn out.
We'll certainly be talking about the film's president, who we learn is serving a third term and has abolished the FBI.
Some are already calling it the greatest victory in the history of military campaigns.
He's played by Nick Offerman, who says the character was not inspired by any commander-in-chief, past or present. Offerman does say the film offers a warning that, given today's political climate, Americans need to heed.
Our ego and our history wants to
allow us to believe that we're above such things that, you know, lesser countries around the world may engage in, but we're Americans, you know. We drink the finest cola beverages. We're immune to such things.
There's an underlying truth with everything difficult, which is nobody's immune.
Trying to get the wife to go. You know it's going to be anti-South. It is just the way it is. Then I'm going to do one, and I'm going to do a long one. I'm just going to play it because it's from a really good comedian I cover on YouTube, but he did a compilation of fat, positive shit. This is NBC saying New Yorkers feel in state despite every metric saying things are great. And it isn't.
Meanwhile, recent videos of unprovoked violence here in New York and the killing of an NYPD officer are fueling concerns about public safety. And this morning, in an NBC News exclusive, the city's top cop is addressing them. He sat down with our senior national correspondent, Tom Yamas. Tom, good morning to you.
Hey, Craig, good morning to you. Good morning to you guys as well. According to the NYPD, crime is actually coming down in most metrics. But when you talk to New Yorkers or read the papers, it feels like a much different story. I sat down with the commissioner of the NYPD, who rose from the ranks of a beat cop in the South Bronx to now leading a police department larger than most armies.
Stop it!
From mayhem on the subways, to unprovoked attacks on women, to a young police officer shot and killed in the line of duty, these headlines and viral videos paint a picture of a big city with a big problem.
New York City went from clean and safe to dirty and dangerous. What happened in New York City?
January 2022, New York City was up in crime over 48%, up in violence. And we looked at just making more felony arrests. And slowly, by slowly, the violence began to come down.
Edward Caban is in charge of the NYPD, and it's more than 35,000 police officers. In an exclusive interview with NBC News, he says crime is trending down in New York City, but not fast enough because of repeat offenders.
We're seeing that we're locking up the same people over and over again.
In his most forceful statements yet, the NYPD commissioner calling bail reform laws ineffective.
We lock someone up, district attorney puts bail on them. The judges let them go to walk our streets again. It's a broken system.
A system that has come into sharper focus after the killing of Detective Jonathan Diller, allegedly by two career criminals with long records.
How many more police officers and how many more families need to make the ultimate sacrifice before we start protecting them?
Is she right?
Absolutely. You know, that's the one thing that no police commissioner wants to do during the...
The thing I hate about the media coverage on anything like this is the fact that it's a different coverage if they're Democrats than they are when they're conservatives. If they were conservatives, we would be hearing the end of fucking days in New York. It hasn't gotten better. It's been fucked up for a while. Pretty much since Floyd. Almost everywhere has problems. But we're not going to talk about that. Why would we? It would hurt a Democrat. So, I want to set this up right, and I fucked up. Let's go back. This is in rebuttal, which I forgot to do this slide. To the Pope, transgender Catholics say new Vatican document shows no understanding of their lives. Oh, I think it does. It's just that
meanwhile,
God said, I made you in my image, and why are you changing that image, yo? I think that's pretty freaking, you know, this and abortion and everything. I think it's really funny when people say, oh, the church is behind time or history. The church is history. I mean, the church is fucking history. You can't say it's not history. I mean, the reality is we have churches. The churches go by books. Those books go by scripture. And there's nothing different about that than what you guys do. The reality is you have intersectionality. It has scripture. You burn your own at the stake if they don't follow it. Just saying. Isaac Butterfield, it's his name. You know, do I have that? I think I have it. Did I play it? I don't think I played this. No. I want to do this first. Let me see. This fucked me up. Like, or did I play it? Nope. Let me double check. Sorry, I'm going to melt down. Oh, I did play it. I played it. It was the court case. I just want to make sure I got the court case in there because that's still fucking with my head. Because right now we have like serious, serious problems where men who don't even sire kids, but if the kid called them dad, have to play alimony to the wives. And they're not even their kids. But judges are finding that as long as the kid called you dad, you're fucked, pal. So Isaac Butterfield, fat phobic TikTok, it is a funny show.
G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Over the past 12 months, I have put together some of the best, well, it depends how you look at it, some of the best or the worst content when it comes to fat acceptance, body positivity, and all of the movements surrounding those individuals. And that's what this video is. This is a compilation of the best of the worst of the largest and in chargest. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you very much enjoy it. And if you do and you want to support this channel, check out my book, Better Man. This is for every single bloke, dude, male in existence. This book I'm very, very proud of, and I think you will enjoy it as well. There are so many issues facing young men across the world today, and I hope that maybe a few of those issues can be addressed by Better Man. So check it out at isaacbutterfield.com. The link is down below. And if you enjoy this channel, if you enjoy what I do, then I think you'll enjoy this as well. This is for every single man, but you know what? Women can benefit from it as well. So go and check it out. Yeah. Ooh, you're not concerned for my health. You're just fatphobic. It's unfair to just comment on some random lady's body. You know, you don't need to do that. But when you put stuff up all the time that promotes how healthy you are, it is a bit ridiculous to think that no one's going to comment on it. And just because they do comment on it and say, hey, that's not that healthy, it doesn't make them fat phobic. It just means that they are, ready for a word? Being accurate. I've never let my stomach be the reason I don't wear the dress again. Let me just say this. If my stomach looked like that in a t-shirt, I wouldn't fucking wear it.
Worrying about your body. This is your vessel. It's your house. It's where...
Mate, there's nothing wrong with you personally. Don't try and make other people say to you that that looks good when we all know it doesn't.
I live. You don't, okay. There's no point in judging it.
You're not
absolutely
pregnant, so you
no
shouldn't
point.
Be.
But it's very hard.
I don't fucking know. It's a hard one. Like, you don't want to be a piece of shit to these people, but also, fucking, what are you talking about? I will never let my stomach be the reason I don't wear the damn dress. Well, do. Do let that be the reason. Because that's what dictates why we wear certain things. Listen, I don't know if you know this. I've got childbearing hips, all right? And some clothes look fucking stupid on me. Ridiculous. And I wouldn't wear that. Why? Because people would look at me and go, fuck, you shouldn't wear that, you fucking childbearing hip having piece of shit. All right? Fucking tossed. POV. Point of view. If you didn't know that. I know that from porn. That's a shame. I finally love my body. I've never felt so loved. That's great. Okay, a dude does that, what do you say? Lose some weight, fatty. That's what you'd say if it was a dude. That's what you'd say. Would you say it looks good if it was a dude? No, you fucking wouldn't. You'll gain weight. You'll lose weight. You'll sometimes hate your body more than anything. But your worth is still the same. I disagree. Some people get very, 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 very large. And I don't think they're worth the same as everybody else. POV, the princess hates her waist, even when she's already skinny. Okay. I'm at a Disney, yeah, like, Disney, if you look at the actual princesses, yeah, they have very skinny waists. Okay. Why, you're an adult, why are you trying to look like a Disney princess? Fucking grow up.
We argued that the only reason people admire bodybuilders who have built their body with muscle and not obese people who have built their body with eating huge amounts of food is because there's prejudice against fat people. And so bodybuilding could benefit from including the non-competitive display of fat bodies alongside muscular ones.
I saw this the other day and people were freaking out in the comment section, but I know who this is. This is Helen Pluckrose. Yeah, Helen Pluckrose was one of the contributors who exposed serious issues with peer review process in what is known as the grievance studies affair. I actually had one of the dudes who was involved in that, Peter Bogorzi, on my podcast the other week. And basically what they did is they had these ridiculous studies made and submitted them to peer review in scientific journals, and a lot of them got through. My favorite was about inspecting dog genitals at dog parks. Please do not clip that. Let me explain. Okay, here it is. Human reactions to rape culture and queer performativity in urban dog parks in Portland, Oregon. It was a hoax paper, but it actually got through, which is absolutely insane. Wilson writes, dog parks are petri dishes for canine rape culture, noting that she witnessed a dog rape every 60 minutes. So I guess the important thing to remember here is take a lot of peer-reviewed journals and some scientific papers with a grain of salt.
Some people may call me DeLulu, but I actually love my fat body.
What?
One of the first things that
Jesus Christ. Some people may call you DeLulu.
I actually love my...
All right. Some people may.
One of the first things that helped me with my confidence was following other plus-size creators. And I've
Yes, because that will put you into an echo chamber where you only hear what you want to hear. You'll then never change. You'll then remain exactly the same person you are right now, and you'll never better yourself. Good first step.
And I've learned to love all my parts because at the end of the day, we are just humans in a meat skin. I also really like to just look at myself
and
tell myself I'm the most beautiful human being ever. My little young self deserves it, and I know she'd be very proud.
Did she say ham and beans?
So baby girl, you just do
I'm
you.
Sure she said
Don't
ham and
about
beans.
The stretch marks, all those... Big
oh, she's dropping her guts. Oh, no. You're not sexy. You're fucking gross. Makes the floor squeak. Did you put that on yourself? And I bet if I look up Chubby Red 444. Okay, here she is on TikTok, which is just the place all this lives.
I'm fat, but big deal. I don't feel bad about it.
Wow. All right. Find me on Instagram. I'm getting to something here. We'll search her Instagram. Here it is. Click me. I confirm. There we go. OnlyFans. Big Red. Big old, you're fat Aussie nympho. Fuck yeah. Unlock to see all of my big body. $7 for 31 days. Not worth it.
Having a baby is something that I've always dreamed of doing.
Okay, I made a video on this guy the other week.
Because I'm
that just looks like a fat dude.
Woman. When I began transitioning 10 years ago.
In that video, I made it very, very, very clear that men can't have babies. This is what this guy's saying. You hear, I'm calling him a guy because he looks like a guy. And that's the nice thing to do. That's the polite way to act. But you're not a man, biologically. You are, I'll call you one, but you're a trans man. Just don't say that men can have babies. Just throw trans at the start there and then no one's got a problem.
Transitioning 10 years ago, doctors told me that...
Who the fuck has a baby at home in a water bath? You should be ashamed of yourself.
Transitioning and testosterone were likely to make my body infertile and there was no way I would get pregnant while on testosterone. So I spent...
Okay, I guess they're not fat, they're just pregnant. Same thing. They don't make mannequins that look like plus-size bodies.
They don't make mannequins that look like plus-size bodies, or at least not plus-size bodies that look like mine, so I decided to make my own. With Taylor Swift coming next year with her Eras Tour, I really wanted to make some replica Taylor Swift outfits, and me and my girlfriend love to sew, but we thought we'd better step our game up and actually make a plus-size
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with, me. You know, making so clothes that fit you.
A little better, and it's just easier for our sewing process. This is a really vulnerable experience.
It looks fucking vulnerable, mate. Jesus.
As confronting as it was, because mannequins just don't look like my body.
They don't look like my body. I got a big fucking weird long body with wide hips.
They don't look like a lot of people's bodies. So if you want to stay tuned and see a fat girl make a Taylor Swift out.
Yeah, I shan't be doing that. You know what's important though? I think we need to go back and have a bit of a look at how we used to treat obese people before TikTok and before we were all trying to be nice and save the fucking whales, so to speak. This I came across, which I thought was very, very funny.
Overweight people tend to be dishonest, inconsistent, and irresponsible. How often have we said or heard people say, I don't know why I can't lose weight. I hardly eat a thing. All kinds of alibis and excuses. Our sessions together tend to debunk these excuses and instead focus on behavioral consistency, control, and commitment.
I'm going to go on the quick weight loss diet. And, you know, that's where you eat meat and water. And that's what I do all week.
You would lose a lot. That's the carnivore diet. You would lose a lot of weight.
Yeah, losing weight's work. I mean, it's not easy.
And this is why I think a lot of people shy away from trying to lose weight, because it is hard work. You have to stick to it for a long time.
Don't even get exercise. I mean, it just doesn't, oh, I want to lose weight. It just won't come off that way.
And that's what we're seeing now. People just accepting this idea in their head, that's stuck in their head because of echo chambers on TikTok and places like it, that they're just stuck this way. They can never change. It's not true.
We had a turkey dinner for our family.
Yeah, fat bitch.
And I just forgot that whole day that I was on a diet. I just put it right out of my mind.
You can't
and
do that.
I know.
And that's fine. You can have days off. Don't worry about it.
Because what we're doing is an occupation, not just a hobby.
It is.
This is a whole way of life that we're building for ourselves.
The reason you change your way of life is because the way of life that you're currently in is obviously not working, and it's not working to make your life better or make yourself healthier. You need to find a way to live a healthier life, and by doing that, you'll lose weight, you'll look better, and you'll live longer. I don't understand how this is a hard concept to take on board.
At times I've felt like, well, why do I have to lose weight? You know, people look at me, but...
You don't have to. This is the big theme of this video. You don't have to lose weight, but just don't tell other people how they should think about you. If you want to be a big fat fuck, go nuts, all right? Eat them all. But people are going to look at you and go, that's a shame. And they're going to look at you when you say fucking, oh, me stretch marks are hot and gorgeous and why don't you hang out in one of them? They're going to look at you and go, no thank you. I prefer people that look good.
It doesn't really bother them, so why should it bother me? I have to have a motivation.
This is part of our commitment action approach to weight control. The girls meet weekly in therapy sessions where behavioral change is emphasized.
Well, ladies and gents, there you have it. We've gotten to the bottom of, well, not really. We haven't really discussed anything. We've just looked at some things and gone, fuck, that's fucking ridiculous.
Can we just normalize saying she looks good instead of she looks good for a big girl?
I don't know what's going on here. This is fat, trans, and valid. Ooh.
Instead of she looks good for a big girl.
Ah!
How about we do that?
Why are you doing this?
Respectfully, of course.
There's nothing wrong with you. Of course you're valid, right? Being trans, being fat, none of that makes you not valid. Just stop shaking your ass at me through the camera. All right, next video. Jesus Christ.
Drops on my fingers like he wanna wife me. Got another shooty, she ain't nothing like me. Yeah. Gotta catch another fight. Apple bottom, make him wanna fight.
I have a whole video about her. Go and watch it. It's great. That is, what's her name? Big Al Woozy. Woozy by name, Woozy by nature. Okay, hang on. I'll, if you didn't see the video I'm talking about, I'll show you who I'm talking about. What is she making?
I need you to send help.
Some people should not have confidence at all.
Don't want to see a confident, beautiful, fat woman in a bikini? Keep scrolling.
Well, I want to see it now.
Okay, now that they're gone, this is the bikini.
It's like you got bread rolls. You got two sets of tits.
I feel hot as fuck. Like,
why do you feel hot as fuck? Looks like me in the bikini. Oh, come on, you know that doesn't look good. You know that doesn't look good.
There's nothing wrong with my body.
She steadily gave me a seizure.
That is not a dirty word.
Okay, I know this is horrible. I know I'm being an asshole here. Those are some fucking good stretch marks. I'll tell you that much right now, ladies and gentlemen. There's some decent stretch marks right there. It looks like a fucking roadmap. It looks like a giant scrotum. All I'm saying, and I know I'm being a dick here. I know I'm being an absolute dick. But if you're going to post this on TikTok, it's got millions of views. It's got 53,000 likes. People are going to look at it and go, hey, come on, mate. What are you doing? And my issue with it is not so much that this person exists. They have every right to exist and they should be respected. But it's the video. It's the music in the background, the whole thing, there's nothing wrong with my body, etc., etc. You are giving people permission to continue to live their way of life, which is fine, but it's an unhealthy way of life. It's a way of life that will lead to an early death, and that's not a good thing. We should be inspiring people to become better versions of themselves, not just to give up and just be who they are.
because who they are is going to kill them.
I'm fat. I'm a fat person. But I'm really quite a healthy fat. I'm not a fit fat person, and I would like to be fitter, but I am not unhealthy. I do not have big bones. I do not have a glandular issue. I'm fat because I eat enormously. And I love cake. It's brilliant.
I like her attitude, and I also dislike it. What she said at the start about being a healthy fat person, you can be quite healthy, but you can always be healthier. And I don't know. I feel, and maybe you disagree with this, I feel what I want from life is to be the best version of myself. And I think that's why when I look at people and I go, oh, you could try harder, you could do better. I feel like that worms its way into all the other facets of your life, whether it's business or whether it's your relationship, whatever. You start to become a better person in all of those areas by working on difficult things, like your health, like your fitness, all of these different types of things. So I'm glad that she said that she's not fat because she's got a glandular problem or she's big boned. She understands why she's fat. She eats too much food, but also you're saying you're quite healthy. So who knows how healthy she actually is? It remains to be seen. But once again, people see this and then they give up on trying to become a better version of themselves, and that's why I have an issue with it.
This video is for the Andrew Tate wannabe Ian Miles Cheung. Ooh. So if you're not him,
I've seen him on
Twitter. I don't know, man. Today, Ian posted a tweet featuring a fat woman using my song Diet Culture. Ian
basically your song Diet Culture. So Ian Miles Cheung said, remember when they said fat acceptance was just about accepting people for who they are? Yeah, well, that was a mistake. People are destroying their lives. Okay. So who is this lady? Diet Culture. Let's have a look at the lyrics. Okay, the song is Diet Culture. Let's go to the chorus. There's nothing wrong with my body. Fat is not a dirty word. If my body tells me something, I'll make sure it's heard. If my body is a vessel, I'll give it what it needs. I will not betray my body, no matter what you think of me. This is basically pandering to fatties. That's all you're doing there, love. Congratulations. You've done so well.
Oh, guess what time it is? It's time for some cute outfits and fat rhetoric. You okay. Can wear pretty dresses and have jiggly underarm fat.
You can, but everyone's gonna go, geez, that's some jiggly underarm fat.
Sometimes your mom is wrong.
No, she's not. My mom's never wrong.
A moment for the buttons.
Whoa, a moment for the buttons. Yes, a round of applause for them holding on for dear life.
Not all bodies are capable of being healthy.
Okay, sure. But all bodies are capable of being healthier. And the problem with saying things like that is, yeah, some people are going to struggle to be healthier than others, but being healthy is subjective, right? I can probably do things that other people can't, and other people can do things that I probably can't. But we can all work to be better versions of ourselves. And I imagine that this lady is not pushing that message. If you just look at her, okay, if you look at her bio, content creator, full-time fat, Jesus Christ. Fat doesn't look good on anyone. Okay. Were you trying to make a point here? Like, listen, I know what you're trying to do, and I know you're trying to make people feel included and shit, but you can't. That doesn't look good. It doesn't. If I dressed like that when I was at my fattest, it would not look good. It doesn't look good on you. Stop it.
Let's talk about dating preferences. This video was so good, you must watch it, and I want to branch off and talk about how it relates to fat phobia and dating. Ooh, a lot of times when people are asked, why don't you date fat people, trans people, people of color? They
will why are fat people, trans people, and people of color in a group here? Why? Why? Why are they grouped together?
They will say, it's just a preference. I'm just not attracted to them. I can't make myself be attracted to someone I'm just not attracted to.
Is that not accurate? That's a completely accurate thing of saying, I'm just not attracted to these type of people or those type of people. That's fine, isn't it?
The implication here being that preferences are innate, unchanging, and completely independent of any outside factors.
No, I think some people have preferences that change over time, and maybe some people have preferences that have been skewed a certain way because of their upbringing, but that doesn't rule out preferences altogether, you fucking lunatic.
Or societal norms. And therefore, that they are inherently unproblematic. Like, it's not fat phobia, it's just who I am. I can't help
this
it.
This is the whole underlying message here. They want people to find them attractive no matter what. And have you noticed it's only chicks doing this? It's never dudes. In these videos I make, I don't just leave dudes out. They don't make these videos. Basically, the argument is, you have to find us attractive, and if you don't, you're a bad person. I don't know, I don't understand why everyone's trying to convince us that fat people are attractive. Next. 3 years of being loved and adored by this wonderful man. Did you see what he did? Look. What the fuck was that? That's not body positive. He's jiggling your tummy. He's got a fat fetish. He did it again. What? How are you okay with that? Listen, after my wife and I had our son, the old butts mum put on a bit of weight. If my wife walked up and grabbed me by the old love handle and said, "Ah, g'day, big fella, how you going?" I would be so upset. How are you okay with this? Oh my God. He just walks up, gives her a fucking squeeze, and gets moving. Buying a reinforced toilet seat. This dude's a fuck. He loves it. If you go, I'll stay. Stop rubbing a belly. Stop it. That's weird. That's so weird. That's like grabbing a dude by his dick, I think, in this situation, because it's obviously a sexual thing. Or grabbing a tit. It's the same thing. Stop grabbing a belly. It's weird. And stop filming it, please. I bet they do fucking OnlyFans or something, don't they? I fucking knew it. I knew you did OnlyFans. Here I was thinking maybe you didn't do OnlyFans, but I knew you did. I knew it was sexual, you dirty devils. Your pretty plump girl next door finally has OnlyFans. Size 22 with lots of belly and ass to keep you satisfied. You'll love every inch of this soft belly and pale pink skin. Explore every dimple and curve like never before.
Come with us to celebrate fat victories with Tigress Osborne and Aubrey Gordon.
Fat victories?
The event was held at DCTV NY in Lower Manhattan. We were so excited when we got there because they had these sample chairs so that everyone could pick the seating that's most comfortable for them. The conversation was amazing. They had ASL interpreters and discussed the anti-size discrimination bill that just passed in New York City.
God, brought to you by Dove. Of course it is Dove, you fucking...
The event space is pretty big and spaced out.
That's lucky.
And has these big garage doors that were left open.
That's lucky.
Meaning there was great ventilation.
That's... lucky and not sweaty.
Just had to stop in the street because I realized.
I rarely like handing my show off to somebody else, but I thought it was a really good section, so I went with it today. And this is the response from the mayor of Dearborn. Now, let's just realize when the Obama administration started the beginning of what I like to call district fucking meddling, like flowing so many people into one area to change the electorate. Obama took Omar and all those wahoos and sent them to Michigan and secured Michigan to stay blue because it was starting to turn red. So what they're doing in Texas with Austin, that's what they're doing with Chattanooga and Nashville and Knoxville, where they're just dropping off illegals, eventually to get legislation because they hope they'll own the House and Senate and the White House, and they'll just say, everybody's legal. Oh, if you live here, you get a vote. You don't be a citizen. Just vote. The reality is, that's why you have people saying death to America. So Abdullah H. Hamoud, over the weekend, video emerged of a rally in Dearborn where some attendees were chanting statements that were unacceptable and contrary to the heart of the city. Reject all inflammatory and violent statements made at that gathering. Sorry, I got to blow it up now. Dearborn is a city of proud Americans. The hateful rhetoric heard on Friday does not reflect the opinion of the members of this community. The Dearborn community stands for peace and justice for all. We are proud to call this city and this country home. First reply, bullshit. While it's unsurprising such hateful bigots emerge in climate where Congressman Wahlberg called for a nuclear holocaust of Palestine, it's still wrong. It's a pity Republicans couldn't hold their community to account with the leadership you show now. Lefties. Dude, this is Cuds Day rally in America. Everyone there is attending an event founded by Ayatollah Khomeini with the purpose of forwarding a genocidal war against both Israel and world Jewry. quit downplaying the widespread anti-Semitism and extremism movement. Botted shit lib account. I think you should clarify that the rally itself is a race hate event. Cuds Day is an instrument of Khomeini and IRGC. How many people attended? I worry Cuds Day may, in fact, be representative of much of Dearborn. I hope I'm mistaken. Sedition is a serious felony punished by fines. Sedition is inciting revolt or violence against a lawful authority to destroy or overthrow it. The article gives an overview of a particular crime. We just used it on Trump. But it doesn't apply here. What the fuck's wrong with you? Those people aren't doing anything wrong. Those are great Americans. The highest form of fucking patriotism is protesting. That's not grassroots. That's astroturf. Yet the soul of every one of these protests or placards printed by George Soros Incorporated or allies like him, when BLM was ripping shit down, when Women's March were marching, who the fuck you think paid for all those buses? And the media never looked. I probably played on this show 8-10 articles talking about the shady dark money behind the Tea Party. Or what was that one? Anti-vax mask. I can't remember the name they had, but that group, those people. They even broke down that some people had their travel paid for to go to fucking J6. Yeah. Anyway you cut it, that is good for the left. They don't have a problem with that. If you or I put a fucking flag up in our house, we are seditionists. Because flags were flown on J6. I mean, that's what they think. Well, let's be honest. That's what they think. These fucking people are just brain dead. Brain dead. So that wraps up another episode of Flower Politic Podcast. Share with your family and friends. Go to Flower Politic with a K on SoundCloud. Rumble 482-467. You can email the show at foppodcast@gmail.com. 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 I have a segment I'm going to be doing. It is... I got an email from a listener. I wanted to remain anonymous. And the concept was going through the craze of open relationship, hot wifing, and cuckolding. I can't unsee some of the things I saw, and it wasn't erotic at all. It was disturbing. Very disturbing. So I'm hoping next one or the one after, that's just going to be the podcast. Because there is so much push for this. We've been covering on the show this open relationship thing that the media is pushing, because 30% of all relationships are open relationships. What they don't say is 75% of the open relationships are all autistic or on the spectrum. That's who's doing it, because they can't commit to one person. But it was linked to OnlyFans. And OnlyFans right now, if I was to say I'm king for a day, what do we need to shut off? Pornhub. That's what I would say, because Pornhub is just out of fucking control. There's way too many kinks. Because that's where I went first, to find people, then to go to their OnlyFans to then send them emails. And I emailed 10 people. I got 4 people to respond. 2 of them, I think, are fake. I think they're just doing it for the money, and they're not. They look at the production, at least on their OnlyFans, which I had to pay like $8 to each one of these to see it. It was too professional. I mean, it looked like a real porn. But it's really being pushed. And I went to Reddit, got kicked out of the Palomori thing because I guess I said something wrong to a transgender, so they booted me. But reading these stories and The Hinge, the Meta, Paramore, my Meta, The Comet, and then going to OnlyFans and seeing this cuckoldry being carried completely out where the husband has nothing to do, he's filming and getting called names. And it's one of the biggest searches on porn sites. The person said, because it's they use the Ben Shapiro statement, which is true, and I've bogarted it on the show. Politics is downstream from culture. And the more we look at the breakdown of the nuclear family, people are not getting married, casual sex, abortion is now used for fucking, abortion is contraception. Any way you cut it, that's just the way it is now. The people that are doing it, it's just, it's scary. A lot will be anecdotal because I read stories, went through the thing, watched all the statements. I was just insanely surprised. It was 50-50, women pushing and men pushing. But I don't want to give too much out. It's an assignment I wish I never did. I saw things that, you know, I'm not going to recover from. It was some gross shit. I don't understand it. I can't understand how you hot wife to cuckoldry, which is just the borderline is the cuck doesn't get to do anything. And it's a bitch and his dog during the process. But the hot, it's there's very little between. There is a lot of people that are doing it either as a last gasp to fix their marriage, or like the one on the show we read, where the wife comes out of postmenopause or postpartum depression, hates everybody, goes and gets a dude she wants to fuck, forces an open relationship on him, and that is happening at a greater rate than ever. Back in the day, we called it swinging. We called it cheating. Now it's under the guise of the word that I heard out of everybody's voice, any email I got back, any article I read, lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It is anti-conservative Christian. So it's good, but it's not good for America. So I'm almost done. I'm got articles. I have some stuff. I wrote down some notes. I have emails that I got back. It opened my eyes to where we're going as a country. And I'm not a Christian conservative. I believe there's God, but I would never say, you know, we've got a nuclear family and, you know, there's a certain way. And you live your life, I live my life. That's the way I look at it. But it made me totally understand why our morals are going through the goddamn garbage. Nobody holds themselves or anybody else accountable. And with all the women's lib push, women are cheating more and divorcing their husbands more than men ever did. And then they're going to the next relationship and destroying that relationship. And then they're ending up alone. Because nobody wants them. And how many OnlyFans women? Because one of my cases, they were faking the funk. They were honest with me. It was just the genre. It wasn't real because the marriage dissolved. So it's a different world out there. And once again, I apologize to my son. I got done with some of this stuff. I sent him a text, dude, I suck. Because I was getting on him for not having getting married or dating a girl. But the last girl he ran into kissed him, grabbed his Johnson, and then the next day explained that he's just going to be her side piece because she's with a Hinge male. And when the Hinge wants to fuck her, she can't date him. But when the Hinge is done with her, he can date her. And my son, of course, like any other man on the planet, was like, oh, fuck that shit. So, more to follow. Some of this is just unfuckable. I don't understand the intellect. I think I had nightmares off this. I was going to say, this little thing I got from that listener, I got nightmares. I just want to tell you straight up, nightmares. about my wife. Just made me think there's no fucking way I could. People would get murdered. That's all I'm going to say. People would be murdered. I'd be on the news. Everybody would be dead. I'd kill everybody around me. I would. There's no way I could do this. There's no way I could do any of that open relationship shit. There's just fucking no way. The moment my wife said it, I'd divorce her. Or if I tried to go with it, the first time a dude took her out, I'd murder him. I mean, there's just no way I could. I can't do it. I've been married to her forever. I've been monogamous forever. It would be such a betrayal. And it's happening every day in our country right now because the media is pushing it. And that's how we get it. You know, that's why I cover on the show. It's popping up everywhere. Non-monogamy is the cool it thing. But culturally and historically, 91% of those marriages don't work or relationships. They all fail. Because I don't care how much you want to devalue sexual contact, fucking leads to feelings. Whether you want them to happen or not, you cannot fuck somebody without feelings. Eventually you get the feels and then you're just done fucked up. So more to follow on that. Probably the next one after this, next week, I'm going to do it. So I got it outlined and I have stuff written up. I've been doing it for 3 weeks. The person sent me thing 3 weeks ago. So I went into Reddit deep. You know, I'd been looking at it just because it's crazy because I kept on hearing the open relationship. But I went deep. I posted. I asked questions, including answers from the cuck sub, which just, wow. Some of those men were macho dudes. Firefighters, police, lawyer. One dude's a millionaire. He didn't like having sex with his wife anymore, so he got off by other people having sex. Don't ask me why. I still couldn't get an answer from him. So, anyway, thank you so much for watching. Make sure you disconnect from all your devices. Don't give the yeah-yeahs, and we're going to go with... let's go 14, April, year of our Lord, 2024. 12th or 13th, for Old Dude Music Review... We're going to do Greta Van Fleet. Matt in Oregon suggested it. That highway song was cool as fuck. It reminded me of Zeppelin. So we're gonna do that one next. Let's do it Friday, the 12th. Shit, I got my mouse in the wrong place. There we go. This vertical stack is just fucking me up. The 12th. So 12th Old Dude Music Review, 14th. Next Flavor Politic Podcast. As always, thanks for listening. Take care.